Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. I'm your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
How are you, Stone?
I'm doing well, but I stayed up late last night, man. Olympics is on almost 24/7, it seems like.
Well, the thing that's messing me up with the Olympics is it happens 5 hours ahead of time.
Right, and then you go get all the information through your mobile devices, and then it's not news.
And then I'm like,
you.
Is this happening now, or did it happen? Am I watching it? So I get confused.
You get that deja vu thing going. But no, it's a lot of fun. I think our medal count is going pretty good. We got a little bit of intrigue with Phelps and Lochte, and I've been enjoying watching the women's volleyball. I miss the winter stuff, though, because you know what my favorite event is, where they slide that teapot across the ice?
Yes.
But you don't get that. Yeah, you don't get that. You don't get that in the Summer Olympics.
But we watched water polo. That was exciting. I didn't realize how violent that.
Well, and they wear headphones. What's that all about?
I don't understand.
Are your ears at particular risk?
I guess
in water polo. That was really odd to me. I caught a little bit of that too. So I've been having a good time with it. Anything new over the weekend? New restaurant, movie?
No, something unusual happened to me. I helped my nephew move.
Oh, that
When was the last
fun.
Time you helped someone move?
I don't know, but it was the last time.
Exactly.
I can tell you that.
That's what I thought. 20 years ago, I thought that was the last time I will be helping someone move. But I have a nephew who is very kind to my son and my family and a favorite of my wife. So he needed help moving. So there we were.
And I bet you took
heavy
him,
objects.
I bet you took him to that restaurant you keep telling me you're going to take me to.
No, it's closed on Sunday. I couldn't if I wanted to.
You going to take me there today?
No, we won't. I will not.
We can't. We're too busy,
too,
right?
Too busy.
But we have a busy day today, too. In the studio, we have a lot of folks. A little bit later in the program, we're going to hear from Director of Market Development with Vayu Media. We're going to have a couple of return guests come back. The good doctor, Russell Rosenberg, and Danny Rinaldi, talking about what's going on there at Harmonix. But first up on the High Velocity Radio Show this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the Executive Director with the Dunwoody Chamber of Commerce, Miss Debbie Fuse. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, we are delighted to have you. What's happening over there at the Chamber of Commerce? All kind of neat stuff. And you guys talking about the traffic thing?
Absolutely. traffic's probably the biggest thing on everybody's mind with the vote in a couple of days. So it's keeping us very, very busy.
Now, we had the DeKalb Chamber guy on last week.
Oh, good.
And he was fired
Leonardo.
Up about Leonardo. Do you guys work together? Do the chambers
Absolutely.
Talk?
They're competitors.
Yeah.
Are they?
They're like Phelps and Lochte, right?
But we're friendly competitors. We all talk, and you know, I do a lot with Sandy Springs as well as done as DeKalb.
Uh-huh. Now, as being involved in the chamber with so many chambers, how does one choose the right chamber for them?
Well, I think that they look at each of the chambers have their own personality, so that's one of the things that you look at. The other thing is if you are in that particular market or you're looking to target that particular market area, that's another avenue and another way of looking at a chamber and which one is best for you.
Now, how long has the Dunwoody Chamber been around? Because the city hasn't been around that long.
Correct. The chamber's been in effect just under 4 years. The city actually came into play about a month after the chamber.
Oh, so they were hand in hand, huh?
Pretty much.
So what exactly is the charter? Maybe it would be helpful if you share with our listeners who maybe don't know just overarching mission and purpose of Dunwoody Chamber.
Well, I think when you look at chambers, the idea behind any of the chambers is that you want to be there for the businesses, to support the businesses, and advocate for them. So that's the key for with any of the chambers. You look at marketing and helping to promote and keeping a lot of shopping local. But the real key is to help them in any way, shape, or form that you can in the way of advocating for their business through the legislature and city government as well.
Now, are chambers part of the government or are they independent organizations?
They're independent organizations.
So it's not affiliated with the government in any way?
Correct.
But you guys are buddies with the government people?
Well, you have to be able to work with them. So obviously, yes, you do have a close relationship and a close tie-in. So the key is to be able to be separate entities so that you can still advocate for the businesses when it's something that the city or the state or the county may not agree on.
Now, do you ever hang out with those folks over at the Convention Visitors Bureau?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we had that guy in not too long ago, right? Henley?
Right.
Chris Henley?
The Atlanta Convention.
The Atlanta.
Does Dunwoody have their own convention?
Yes, they do.
Oh, wow.
Katie Brinkle is the director for the Dunwoody Chamber of Commerce.
For the Convention Bureau?
Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Now, how are they different than what you do? They're just promoting Dunwoody as a city? Is that a government?
They get their tax dollars, their tax revenue from the hotels. But what happens with the CVBs is that they are there to advocate across the country for people to come in and do shopping and stay in Dunwoody.
Oh, so like kind of tourism, but also maybe some convention?
Tourism and conventions, right. Both.
Now, you guys have your big powwows, probably weekly or monthly, but as I understand it, you also have other opportunities for different groups to get together for all kinds of reasons, right?
Right, we do. I have various different things within the Dunwoody Chamber. One of the things that we started just recently was a Coffee Connections, and the purpose of that particular event is specifically educational, with speakers that come in that are of interest to CEOs and CFO level. That is tied in with the education factor, which we've been working strongly with the colleges in the area. We have four colleges that we work with in order to generate the speakers that we want for that particular program. But I also have things for specifically women. I have a luncheon every month for that, which is our Chamber and Heels group. I have a young professionals group, which is our under 35 group. And then in addition to that, we do our normal networking.
So now, if you're a business owner in Dunwoody or you want to, meet more business owners in Dunwoody, if you go to these events, are you getting the big, big mega businesses there, or are you getting the kind of the small solopreneur businesses? Who attends these meetings?
Well, you have a combination of those businesses. The goal is obviously to have a good mix of them. Small businesses tend to join chambers and be more active. And the reason that they do that is because they're looking for different reasons and different purposes than maybe a large corporation is. So when you're looking at a lot of the small and mid-sized businesses, they're there not only to learn and be more educated or have specific topics that they want to cover, but they're also there to do networking and build a referral base. When you're talking about the larger companies, they're more involved specifically in the idea of the advocacy and the legislative impact that anything that the government is doing is going to affect them.
So how does one get to become an executive director of a chamber? I'd be interested in that career path.
Well, my career path was a little different than most, I think. It wasn't something that I set out to do. So for me, I actually was a sales manager for like 20 years and covered the Southeast. And when I first came to the chamber, I actually volunteered at the chamber when they were very first beginning. And it became something that as I started looking at things that were going on and things that I wanted to do and changes that we wanted to make within the chamber, it just kind of became my position. So I've been actually doing this for a little over 3 years. And so it's a whole different impact and probably process than most chambers do. They probably actually went through the whole, I really want to be a chamber executive prod. You know,
they took those classes in college.
Absolutely.
Now, in a lot of people's mind, Dunwoody is kind of a suburban residential area. Is it active in business? Are there a lot of businesses based out of there?
You know, in just Dunwoody alone, there's like 2,400 businesses, and that's growing every day. Within the perimeter market, there's a whole lot more. So when we look at everything that's happening within Dunwoody and the perimeter, we look at it as a whole. Dunwoody and Sandy Springs are really partners in a lot of things in the regional programs. And when we look at what's happening in Perimeter Center, that's the biggest part of what's going on. The Perimeter Center market actually has about 6 million square feet of space that they actually have for the businesses. And then in the retail space, we have 28 million square feet of space. So when you start looking at what's going on in the marketplace, we are a huge regional impact in the whole city of Atlanta. Because of that, we have to partner on a lot of programs that we do. And not only do those two chambers work closely together, but the two cities work closely together as well, because as everyone knows, you know, the Perimeter Mall is in Dunwoody, but it's right at the borderline, and most of the businesses are in that perimeter market area.
Now, in the perimeter area, like you said, it's Sandy Springs and it's Dunwoody, and I guess DeKalb is also in the mix there, because DeKalb touches that, right?
Yes.
That's DeKalb County, but it's also right next to Sandy Springs, more in Fulton County. It's
correct.
Kind of a mess over there, huh?
It's
a lot,
tough
a lot
line.
Of fingers in there.
It's a tough line. And, of course, Brookhaven's coming, hopefully, for them. I know that it's one of the things that they're working on. So between the unincorporated DeKalb County right now is the way it is, and then the Dunwoody and Sandy Springs lines, it does get a little... Nobody knows where the lines are most of the time.
Right. But so then you find it in all of your best interests to kind of work together and collaborate. There's a lot of collaboration.
Absolutely.
And then if you just call it the perimeter area, I would think from a citywide focus that this is kind of the new downtown, or downtown seems to be migrating north a little bit.
I would agree. And if you look at a map and you look where the perimeter market is, the Dunwoody Sandy Springs market, when you start looking at that and you compare that to a traffic flow of most people, they're either probably coming from pretty far north down into the city, which a lot of them are starting to look at Dunwoody and Sandy Springs being a good place to relocate their businesses for that reason.
Right. Speaking of traffic, why are you guys so fired up on this T-Splos thing? And I'm assuming you guys are for it, right?
Absolutely.
All the chambers seem to be for it. Is that universally so?
I would say the majority of them are and speak out for it, but the purpose behind the yes vote for the T-Splos is actually because it's advocating not just for the traffic repairs and the things that need to be done, but it's not going to get any better if we don't do something. Whether something is right or wrong, it doesn't, at this point, we've got to do something with traffic in order to generate more economic development growth within the state. It's a key factor when companies are looking to move their people here. And that's probably one of the hardest things for people to truly understand is the impact of the way that the traffic flows. I've transferred three times. Several of the things that we've looked at when we were transferred in were schools and traffic and lifestyle. So when you start looking at those three things with a business and you're moving people into an area, they do consider all of those factors.
Now, just to kind of educate some people if they haven't heard about it. The vote is coming up tomorrow, the 31st, right? July 31st?
Correct.
And it's a 1 cent sales tax increase?
Correct.
And the funds are, it's a limited amount of time, right? It's not 1 cent forever, right?
It's 10 years, and it will stop at the end of 10 years.
Just like the toll stopped at 10 years?
No, different from when the toll stopped at 10 years. That was a verbal agreement. This one in particular, just so that you understand the idea and the concept behind it, is it's a 1 cent sales tax. Not only the people that live here will get it, but people who come into the market will get it. It's not just all carried by the individuals that live in the cities or in the areas. Each of the counties can say yes or no to this particular program. As they do that, those are the counties that will or will not be getting the funding, not only from this program, but also from a federal match program. When you're looking at the pieces of this program and putting the ideas and the concepts together, you're looking at it as a combination of not only the traffic flow and the projects that are going on with this traffic, but Dunwoody itself will actually generate more revenue that it pays out in the long run.
Now, and people should understand that each of the regions that came up with their own kind of traffic plan, though, individually,
absolutely.
This wasn't somebody in an ivory tower kind of said, this is the way it's going to be for the state.
Correct.
Each region kind of said, this is important to us, and this is how a portion of the monies will be used.
Yes, and each county had a citizens group that was involved in this. So the citizens that were involved in this particular program helped put the projects together. The projects were then called out through a group to be able to sit down and look through all of them and decide which ones were the most important to carry the traffic flow across the state. And in that process, people that have been involved from very early on, and it's allowed citizens to be involved all the way through.
Right. And that's a unique thing, right? That has not happened before.
Correct.
Once a business gets involved with a chamber, how would you counsel them to get the most out of that investment?
Well, I think depending upon the business itself, what they each do is a little bit differently. If you're looking at some of them, when we sit down and talk to them, it's really trying to determine what their needs are and what they're looking to get out of their membership. Once we've helped them determine that, then that's how we help put together what they should be involved in and what programs and activities they should be involved in.
But you think businesses should be involved in their chamber then? That's like kind of a must-have thing if you're a business person?
Absolutely. People that look at, if they are just looking at an area and they're looking for businesses that are involved, they will look, especially if you've just come here, they will look at a credibility issue with a business if they're a part of the chamber. They really believe that it helps enhance that credibility for them.
Well, and I like this idea of people that know what they're doing and understand what's happening advocating on my behalf. That, to me, that means an awful lot.
Yeah, it's huge. And, you know, just to give you an idea, we worked with the Georgia Chamber and I've talked to them, and they help advocate a lot of things on a state level where we look at things on a local level. So as we're sitting there and talking to them, you know, they had their biggest year ever in helping pass business-friendly legislation through the Congress this year. So it's a big deal.
Now, when you're working with a new person that just joined the chamber, is there like an introductory thing? Like, is there a first meeting they should be going to, or is there?
Yeah, we have a member orientation class that we end up doing. And with that member orientation class, it's actually to give them kind of a breakdown of the things that we have to offer, things that they can get involved in, and then for us to get to know them.
You get a red dress and they teach you how to work the room.
Well, you could try that, but it hasn't worked so well for most of the guys.
I'm sorry, I interrupted. You go ahead and tell them.
No, it's absolutely fine. When you're actually, you know, the member orientation is actually just to help kind of get people familiar with some of the things that we do have to offer and maybe get to know some of the people they would like to get to know as well. So as we continue to work through that process, we grow some of our programs every year. So that also is a good opportunity for people that have been around for a while to come back in and take a look and see what's there.
You know, I think might be fun. I don't know if it would be brand new members or maybe it'd be better to do seasoned members. But, Lee, if from time to time, if we had Debbie or someone at the Dunwoody Chamber come in and do a segment and maybe spotlight a member or two from the chamber, that could be. Would you be up for that?
I'd be absolutely up for that.
All right.
That could be
like
really
fun.
Cool.
That way, that's what Leonardo does.
Well, good.
You want
we'll
to match
that.
Him?
Absolutely. You know, we're friendly rivals.
That's right.
What's the best way for our listeners to reach out and learn more and get involved with the Dunwoody Chamber?
Actually, if you just go to dunwoodycommerce.org, that is our website, and we have most of our information there, all of our contact information. You can also reach us at our phone number is 678-244-9700 as well.
And then you want them to vote yes for T-Splast, and then is there any other events going on that you want to talk about?
I would say that absolutely we want them to vote yes for T-Splast. That's the first thing. And I would check our calendar. We have events that are every week, and every one of them are focused on a different avenue. I would like for you to keep an eye out for the Dunwoody Perimeter Coffee Connections event. Our next speaker is going to be Chris Clark with the Georgia Chamber, and he is actually going to be there talking about economic development and how it affects you.
Well, you had me at coffee, so I'll be.
That's great.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show, and this idea is quite sincere. I think this idea has some legs, and it seems to be working with Leonardo and his crowd, and I think that we should talk about that.
We would love it.
How about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Be happy to.
All right. Next up on the High Velocity Radio Show, Lee, are a couple of folks that are no strangers to the Business Radio X microphone. They've been here in the studio with us before, and they've got some new stuff to share with us. Please welcome to the show first, Mr. Danny Rinaldi with Harmonix. How you doing, man?
Good. Nice to be here again.
Yes, yeah, good to see you, and you're awake.
You look well rested.
Yep, yeah, I had a great night's sleep last night, as always.
So what's happening over there in your camp, man?
Well, things are going really well.
Well, first, tell everybody what Harmonix is. Tell about your company. What do you guys? Okay. What product do you guys sell?
All right, we are an Atlanta-based company. We're 2 years old. We're essentially still a startup in the early stages, and we make a liquid sleep aid called Sleep Formula 39. And what Sleep Formula is, it's a non-prescription sleep aid made in a liquid form, sold in a 2-ounce bottle. And it's designed to provide a great night's sleep. It's the only one on the market that had clinical trials and research behind it. And it's proven effective to provide a really great sleep.
With fewer side effects than Lee's favorite liquid sleep aid, Jose Cuervo, right?
That is correct.
Jose Cuervo 39.
So our product is really designed to be the antidote to 5-hour energy. So much people are drinking so much caffeine these days that we put it in a 2-ounce bottle so people really could recognize it's the same type of product, but it's designed to put you to sleep rather than give you energy.
So how'd you get into this? Is your background in sleep?
My background is in retail. I've been calling on retailers my entire career for the last 30 years. And, you know, what I noticed in looking for a hot product in today's market is so many people are struggling with the inability to fall asleep, whether it's market conditions, whether it's personal relationships, whether it's their business, their children. More than half of all Americans are having trouble falling asleep on a regular basis. So with that big of a market potential, we came out with a liquid product that tastes like a Hawaiian fruit punch that you know, we tested to prove that it puts you to sleep.
Did you start with other flavors?
Did not.
But people like that one, so you said, cool. Right?
Well, we chose a flavor profile that sort of matched the demographic of an older 35 to 55-year-old person, and everyone can relate to the Hawaiian fruit punch that we had when we were children.
All right. Now, I used to use, when traveling with kids down to Pensacola to see Grandma, Dimetapp. And I'm thinking that maybe this would be a, can you use this product on kids, or is that not a good idea?
That's not a good idea. We recommend 18 and over.
I'm not sure Dimetapp's a good idea either.
All the ingredients are natural, but you know, we chose not to market to children and to pregnant women.
Got it.
Now, is that the same demographic that you're going after, the 35 up? Is that the same as the 5-hour energy drinks? They're going younger.
Well, that's a great question. That demographic for them is growing. It started off with 18, 20-year-olds to give them more energy, but they have so much energy to begin with. It's the older people that need more
energy. Right.
Yeah. But we believe that if you had our product, there would be no need for a 5-hour energy.
So you think sleep's the reason why most people have less energy than they'd like?
Yes. Yes.
Is sleep disorders? Is that, like, what percentage of the population has sleep? Oh, you brought an expert with you. So I see you looking over there. Why don't you introduce?
It's time to introduce the doctor.
Why don't you introduce the doctor?
Hi, I'm.
Okay, or if not, go ahead, Stone. You introduce the doctor.
Please also welcome Dr. Russell Rosenberg, who knows a thing or two about sleep.
Well, thanks. It's good to be here, and especially good to be here with Danny. Yes, I'm a sleep medicine expert, and I'm also the chairman of the National Sleep Foundation. I'm involved with sleep research here in the Atlanta area near Northside Hospital. I've been doing that for about 22 years. And yes, in answer to your question, Lee, sleep disorders are very common. And in fact, they seem to be on the rise, especially with regards to people who complain of poor quality sleep. And, you know, it's a range of people, because some people have really terrible insomnia. They can't fall asleep, they can't stay asleep, and they wake up feeling horrible the next day. And there are other people who just have what I would classify as sort of bad sleep, or they're just not good sleepers, and they also feel sleepy the next day, or have trouble concentrating, trouble, you know, interacting, they have trouble at work, they have trouble with relationships. So there are a wide range of people. Probably over 50 million people in the United States have regular trouble with insomnia, and a much larger group are people who have just difficulty getting a good night's sleep.
Is insomnia sleep apnea?
No, insomnia is quite different from sleep apnea. Insomnia really is the inability to satisfactorily get to sleep or stay asleep and feel good the next day. Sleep apnea is the common problem associated with snoring, usually males over age 45, although it can occur in women. Women who also have pauses in their breathing during sleep. You probably know of those people who wear the CPAP mask.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a breathing disorder during sleep that can have really a profound effect on your cardiovascular system and, you know, causing high blood pressure and increased stroke and so forth. So it's a really serious medical disorder.
Well, the insight for me on this, guys, is that it addresses both sides of the equation. Because when you first started talking about the other product and your product, I was thinking back to my days in Pensacola with the window replacement guy whose primary marketing strategy involved a BB gun. And, you know, he set up his but it sounds to me like this, I mean, it addresses both sides of the equation, because that's where the energy problems are coming from, is poor sleep.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. In fact, you know, with our company, we could see it ourselves. We launched last September 6th here in Atlanta in 240 stores, And at the end of a 12-week test in Atlanta, we our research indicated that we became the number one sleep aid in all of Atlanta against all products sold in all the national drugstore chains.
Wow.
And we earned 70% market share. We were tops in dollars sold, we were tops in units sold, and then dollars per point of distribution. And what was exciting about that test is we immediately took that data back to the companies involved in the test, Rite Aid and CVS. They were so excited about seeing such high results, which sort of evidenced to them that there was a big problem in the sleep market, that they immediately adopted us for a national rollout. So we spent between May 1st and right now rolling out to 24,000 stores. Again, that's from a 240-store test to 24,000 stores, and our product can now be found in all of the CVS stores, all of the Rite Aid stores, all of the Walgreens stores, and Walmart all over the country as well.
Now, Doctor, why don't you talk a little bit about why you decide to get involved with this? I mean, I'm sure you get bombarded with people who have a million ideas and would love to get your involvement.
A lot of what I do on a daily basis is to test products involved with sleep, whether they be for people who have insomnia or new devices around sleep apnea or people who have narcolepsy. So I have a long history of being involved in research, especially those products that get FDA approved or tested. Danny came to me sometime earlier this year saying that he had a product that had natural ingredients that he had clinically tested at a an accredited sleep disorders center. And I looked at the results and found the results to be pretty striking. That is, the results did show that people slept better. They felt that their sleep quality was better. And so I had never been approached by a company that had actually taken this step to look at this from a real clinical experimental approach, much like I do with other FDA-approved drugs. But you're right, Leah. I've been approached hundreds of times with other kinds of products where no one has really wanted to take that extra step and make sure that the product can be clinically proven and that it's not just a bunch of liquids or pills or things that really don't make sense with regards to sleep itself.
Now, were you surprised that he was able to come up with some combination of natural ingredients that solved this problem?
I wasn't surprised. A lot of the natural ingredients that are in the product have been used in other products, but not in this combination before. So it's unique in that regard. And all of the ingredients are things that I've seen in other products that have been safe and used by really millions of people.
Now, had you ever told your patients, like, try some of these natural ingredients as a solution?
I have told some of my patients in the past to use melatonin, L-tryptophan as well, but not in this combination of an approach.
So I'd like to go to the backstory, the business backstory on this thing. You think, hey, I think this is gonna work. I want to take this to the market. It's got to take money. It's got to take time. That's a really huge undertaking. It's not like opening just a service-oriented business. You got product. You got all.
Well,
that
he had
kind of
to
stuff.
Get and fund all the testing. I mean,
yeah.
This was
yeah.
Probably.
Walk us through that a little bit. Give us the backstory on it.
Okay, about 2 years ago, I looked at this particular area of functionality because the functional beverage category was growing so fast and so rapidly that it's the number one segment in the beverage industry. And the reason it is because soda has high fructose corn syrup, and so people were looking for alternative products to drink to sort of replace a product that had those ingredients. So functional beverage category just exploded. And so the trick was, is what kind of functionality was actually needed in a product that would make it a hot product for Americans. And after a process called rapid concept testing, we went through a lot of different types of products that could
be. So what were some of the ones that
kissed
didn't
a lot
make
of
it?
Frogs.
Yeah, what are some of the frogs you kissed? Like, what are something you thought, hey, let's try this, and then it didn't make it?
Yep. So one of the first ones was a focus drink. It was a great product that would allow you to focus better, but it was hard to test against. We tested a sexual enhancement product for women who had issues of low libido, sold in
You know who would have bought that, though, right? The guys would have bought it.
And while it tested really well, and it was a great market, it was really a small market that was too small.
You don't have
to
a batch
a
like
around.
In the basement or anything, do you?
In his basement. Yeah.
And then that led us to understanding through our focus groups that if women would relax, that issue could sort of go away. And so we looked at relaxation beverages in a 2-ounce format. And that became a big category, but it was hard. We found out it was very difficult to message to. Do you want to relax before you give a presentation? Mm-hmm. Do you want to relax right. after work? And so what we learned through our focus groups is that the highest form of relaxation was sleep. Everybody understood sleep. It was easy to message to. And that it just so happened to be right now that the market needs it, with more than half of all Americans having trouble sleeping on a regular basis. So we chose sleep. And
then it's just been a roller coaster since, huh?
Yes.
Now, looking back, aren't you thinking like, wow, that should have been the most obvious one?
Not really, because the whole functional beverage category is new. The sleep category by itself is very fragmented. There isn't one single leader. And
now there is.
Yeah, now there is. We own 70% of the market share in Atlanta.
Now, as you grow, are you looking, you're looking to grow even more, I'm sure, because
yes.
now you're really getting a lot of momentum. Are you looking for funding at all, or you have enough money? What's your situation regarding that?
Great question. Appreciate it.
It wasn't that great of a question. It was an adequate question. It was an appropriate question. What do you mean, great question? Man.
We raised $100,000 right after our sleep study came out, and it was proven effective, so people got behind us then. After we did our test and our launch in Atlanta and the results were so good, we raised another $100,000 from friends and family. So where we are at right now is we're looking to raise our angel round of funding to be able to support our current launch to 24,000 stores with all the marketing that we need and the production of product to support the quantity required for the national rollout. So it's perfect timing for really round two for us, an angel round.
So you're going to spend what you would do with the money, spend it on marketing and
production.
And manufacture, right? You got to really get that machine going
to
service all those accounts.
Yep, we went from needing 40,000 bottles to 500,000 bottles in over a couple of month period
That's
of
right.
time.
And Danny can only get so many caps on
right.
by himself.
He's topped out on that.
Yeah.
You think you could help us orchestrate some sort of radio test that might help us raise 100 grand?
Yeah.
Who knew? It's so easy,
focus group.
Right?
Focus group.
And
by, by the way, part of our marketing is to use Dr. Rosenberg as our spokesperson on a media tour, sort of designed by our public relations firm here in town that would place him on all the morning shows, all the doctor shows. So we're excited to raise those funds so we can put Dr. Rosenberg to work.
Is this the first time you've been a spokesperson, doctor?
Well, my actual role is as a scientific advisor, and I really think my role is to make everyone aware that sleep is a very important health issue that should not be denied and that should we should pay a lot of attention, because sleep is a common denominator for a lot of different health and general well-being issues. You know, feeling alert, awake during the daytime is something that everyone should have a right to and expect, and having the ability to think clearly and not be sleepy during the daytime is very important, not only in our day-to-day lives, but certainly in business. We know businesses are affected, you know, in terms of the amount of money that businesses lose as a result of people being too sleepy and not at the top of their game is really in the hundreds of millions per year.
It's a productivity issue and has a real genuine bottom line.
Absolutely is.
And again, maybe this was obvious to everybody else, but to me, it's if you are buying this other product because you're sleepy during the day, you are the person that ought to be buying this product to get the proper sleep when you need it. There's got to be some fun commercials in that where you can draw some cool analogies of solving the problem the completely wrong way.
Or we just hire you.
There you go. The other thing
you said it best.
The other thing I'd like to say about this particular product is that it doesn't have some of the ingredients that some of the over-the-counter drugs do have, like diphenhydramine, which is Benadryl, which does make people feel too groggy the next day. And the other thing I think it's important to know is that this may be a first start, but if somebody has a real serious sleep problem and they've tried everything, they've even tried the sleep formula 39 and really nothing seems to be working, then they really need to see a sleep specialist or a physician about the problem. I think millions of people can be helped by products that you can get right in the pharmacy without a prescription, but once they've tried it and nothing's working, go to the next step and see a doctor.
Now, how many people take like prescription sleeping aids like Ambien?
Oh, there are millions of people who are taking, millions of people are taking over-the-counter as well as the prescription sleep aids like Ambien and Lunesta, and there are others even coming down the road. So this is a big market for pharmaceutical companies.
So the pharmaceutical companies aren't big fans of this, right? They don't want you to take this. They want you to take the prescription.
They probably do want you to take the prescription, although I think that many people don't necessarily need a prescription. Many sleep problems can be helped by behavioral changes alone, making sure you don't drink too much alcohol near bedtime. You can develop good sleep habits that can improve the ability to initiate and maintain sleep. So it's not all a matter of ingesting either a substance or even a functional drink. But sometimes, even despite your best behaviors, you need a little bit something more to help you sort of over the fence to get to sleep.
And so this gives folks another option that, right. You know, if nothing else, you try this, and then if that's not going to do the trick, then you go back to the doctor if you need something more aggressive, right? But in a lot of cases, they're probably hitting it with a sledgehammer when just a little thump will do.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And lots of people are very afraid of the sleeping pills. They hear about people cooking things, eating things in the middle of the night they shouldn't be eating, driving as a result of taking sleeping pills. And I really don't want to vilify sleeping pills. I think they are in the right hands for the right patients. They do a wonderful job.
Right.
But many people are afraid, and they continue to go day to day without getting good rest. And so this might be a point of entry for many people to see if this might help.
Okay, with those two sponsorships completely in the trash now for us.
Yeah, thanks for that. Our Ambien sponsorship is out the window now.
With that gone, let's wrap by making sure. I want to make sure that our listeners know how to reach out to you, get their hands on some of your thought leadership, learn more about the foundation that you mentioned, Doctor. So could you share your coordinates?
Sure, sure. If your listeners have issues about or questions about sleep in general, the Sleep Foundation has a great website. It's sleepfoundation.org. In terms of my clinical trials and work in research, if there are listeners there that are interested in participating in our program, neurotrials.com is the address for them to look at.
Well, what a pleasure having you back in the studio, man. I appreciate you joining us again.
Thanks. It's been my pleasure.
Yes, sir. And, Danny, we also want to make sure that consumers know how to get their hands on this product,
great,
when and where they need it. And, you know, we have a lot of venture capital angel folks listening on the show as well. So if someone wants to open their wallet and invest in something that's obviously going to help people and make money, which are the two criteria my buddy Lee always measures things by,
okay,
let's make sure they know how to do that,
okay,
as well.
Well, you could reach us on our website at sleepformula39.com.
The number 39.
The number 39, sleepformula39.com. And in addition to general information about our company and our product and our leadership, you can also find a store locator that you just type in your zip code, and all the stores in your area will pop up, and you can decide which ones you want to go to. And again, the product is available in CVS around the country, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Walmart.
And then we got a handful of bottles here in the green room.
We're going to start putting them in the coffee mugs. You know?
But you better hurry because they're going fast.
Yeah, they are going fast. I was presented with a whole box, and then the receptionist took two, and then the guest took some. So, well, what a delight, man. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you, Stone. Appreciate it.
And it's great to see a success story like this. Somebody coming up with an idea within 2 years, having it available nationwide, you should be very proud. That is a huge success.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, and I love going to the CVS when I go buy my fudge grams. And then I go and I see at the counter, we had that guy on the show. We had that guy on the show. It makes me feel like a quasi-celebrity.
That's great. Did you buy one?
Of course. Oh, why would I buy? Actually, you had given me a couple, and I have them in the cabinet. So
right.
I'm set, man.
Good.
I'm your greatest fan, and I'm well-rested. Hey, how about hanging out with us a little bit while we wrap this up? We got one more guy we want to talk to.
Sure will.
And you're going to want to hear what he has to say because, you know, you're big on getting the word out. And
that's
doing
right.
A good job.
This guy's a marketing expert.
This is the man right here. So wrapping things up for us here on High Velocity Radio today is Director of Market Development for Value Media, Mr. Al Louise. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you.
Well, we're delighted to have you. You waited very patiently. I did see you writing copious notes. I don't know if it was really doodling or notes, but it looked like you were getting some value out of the other conversations we were having, and now you've got your turn. But anything from the conversations you were listening in on that struck you?
Well, I'm very excited to take out my sample of Harmonix when I won't be sleeping well, which will happen at least several times this week. So I will have feedback. So I took Ambien for years. So, everyone needs more sleep.
Well, we'll look forward to your own clinical trial. We'll look forward to publishing that. So what are you guys up to over there at Value? What are you out there trying to do for folks?
Well, you know, we are an Atlanta-based SEO and online marketing firm. So we work with a variety of businesses of all shapes and sizes to increase their exposure online. So to that end, we work with a variety of both B2B businesses as well as B2C.
Now, how did you get into this business?
I have been with Vayu a little bit over 2 years. My background has in sales and marketing, so moving to the digital space, which I did, I really enjoyed because the great thing about digital marketing is everything can be measured versus if you choose to do a billboard, TV spot, right. What have you, it's very hard to measure the results you're getting.
I got to tell you, and it's not fair to you and people in your arena, but every time I now hear the term SEO, I think about, you know, midnight in the garden of good and evil. I see voodoo and chickens being sacrificed. It seems like it's a dark art. Can you clear that up for us a little bit? Give us the legitimate side of this thing.
I've only sacrificed a couple of chickens.
But it was for a good cause.
Very competitive market, I had to. SEO, in essence, is basically making your website more relevant than the other search results for the search terms you're targeting. Google, when you search something, and I'm talking about Google because that's 75% of the market share, Google delivers paid search results, which you pay every time you click the ad, and then the organic search results. Those are what I call that appear in the body of the search results. And people tend to click the organic results more. So there is a lot of money to be made if your business is on page one of Google.
And you have to be on page one, really, right? If you're on page seven, that's not going to be helping you very much, is it?
No, definitely not. Really, anything after page one. Page two, when you get to page two, you're getting maybe 1% of the clicks for every time you appear.
Wow. So it's critical. That's a kind of life or death.
Absolutely. A page one, the first organic result, depending on which study you believe, gets between 20 and 55% of the clicks for a query.
Wow.
So obviously that's a lot of exposure that businesses want.
Now, what percentage of your, when you're working with clients, are you doing to make them be number one, but maybe more importantly, choosing the proper keywords? Because, you know, like say I wanted to have the keyword for, you know, real estate in Atlanta, you know, I'm competing with a gazillion other things, but maybe I can get one little niche and I can kind of own that niche.
Absolutely. Keyword research and keyword analysis is huge, and it's very important for SEO. You know, the search engines all want to deliver relevant results.
Because they want the person to find what they're looking for. It's in the search engine's best interest for that to happen.
Absolutely, because if they're not delivering relevant results, they lose market share.
Right.
So it is very key to choose the right search terms. And when you're looking at search terms, you have to look at relevance, but you have to look at what the intent is behind the search.
Right.
You know, I could tell, say you sell running shoes online, you want to rank for Nike. Well, that's great. A, that's going to be hugely competitive. But if you want to rank for Nike Air Max, that's more likely. And guess what? That person's a little bit further along the buying cycle.
Right.
But it occurs to me that doing your own SEO is probably about as wise as giving yourself a haircut. I mean, you need a pro, right? So, and if that's true, then the next question for me is, that's not something I do every day, hire a professional SEO. What kind of question should I be asking? What kind of criteria should I be measuring them against? How do I conduct an effective, I guess the word's interview, to engage someone that's going to really help me?
Yeah, that's a good question because I hear that a lot out
that
in the marketplace.
That was a great question.
It was good.
The best question I've heard all morning. you know, I hear that a lot, and I hear a lot of horror stories of companies picking a bad SEO provider, and you really have to vet people carefully. One thing I think is important is you really want to see examples of their work, and you want to get references and check them thoroughly.
Well, should the first reference be how well they rank themselves?
Yeah, if they're on page 7, maybe that's not such a good sign.
You know, that is very true. That is very true. I can tell you, we spend a lot of our own efforts and resources on our own SEO. And as you can imagine, ranking for a search term like Atlanta SEO Company is pretty competitive.
Yeah.
Yes, it's pretty competitive. So that's the first thing is, can they rank themselves, look at references, and then really drill, ask them a lot of questions about what their strategy is, and dig into kind of more of a background on their business and how long they've been around.
Now, you do business development for Vayu?
Correct.
Now, when you go to market, how do you attack the market? Like, do you just look for people who should be appearing higher and then go, hey, you got a problem? Like, how do
he goes to page 7 and says,
says
dude,
who's on page 7? You got to be on page 1.
That's his target market.
I should do that. I should do that more. You know, as business owners get hammered a lot by SEO companies offering their wares.
Right. Like, if I saw an email that says be number 1 on Google, I would never respond to that.
Yeah, because, I mean, well, a lot of times you're getting those overnight from India as well, and you really are not you know, they're not really carefully vetted. Luckily, you know, the majority of my business comes from marketing firms and strategic partners as well as referrals.
Uh-huh.
Current customers refer a lot of their friends to me because we've delivered results for them, so they see the value in it.
But like, say, a marketing firm, like an ad agency or a PR firm, they're busy doing their marketing and PR. Mm. They're not really doing kind of the blocking and tackling of SEO, right?
Absolutely. They could be more on the general marketing strategy piece of it all as opposed to the different moving pieces of the puzzle.
And then, so they can white label your work for their clients? Do you guys work like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Or they can refer us out, or we can kind of work under them. Absolutely.
And this is not a single strategy kind of thing. There's all kinds of variables that play together to bring your SEO thingy up, right?
Absolutely. There are about 200-plus search engine ranking factors that are constantly changing. There are changes to the algorithm, the Google algorithm, constantly. And
that's
pretty
like
major
kind
ones.
Of some mythical creature, the Google algorithm.
Yes.
Right? No one's ever seen it, but they've heard a lot about it.
You know, I tell clients it's similar to, you know, Coke's magic formula. Everyone knows what's in it, but they don't know the exact formula.
Right. And it changes. Right.
So you get referred in, or you meet someone in some sort of networking environment, or however you get that initial conversation. I got to believe it still has to be a challenge to differentiate yourself. Probably to someone learned, but certainly if you're trying to tell me about your services and I'm comparing them to everybody else at every other cocktail party and family reunion that told me they were an SEO expert, are there a couple of things that you underscore very quickly that help, oh, that Stone guy gets it?
Absolutely. I would, again, references are key.
Right.
And then I use specific examples of clients that I can share of where the impact we've made upon their business.
All right. Can you share one?
Yeah. Walk us through the process if you have one that you're allowed to share. And if you're not, we'll
no,
call them company
No, I understand
X.
That there's a lot of this the company doesn't want you to share because it's, you know, it's their own proprietary stuff.
But maybe you can walk us through the process anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, with a potential client, I would discuss clients where, okay, here they were. They did not rank at all for these selection of keywords that are highly relevant to their business, money-making keywords. And 6 months in, 4 months in, 9 months in, here's where they are. Here's where they are on page 1 for all their keywords. And this is the impact it made upon their business. This is the clients they brought in. This is the revenue they brought in. This is the increase in traffic that they brought in.
Right. So you can actually show that. And because that's the beauty of the internet, there's a lot of accountability.
Absolutely. Everything can be measured and tracked.
Mm-hmm. And is that one of the key tenets, like kind of track and measure? I would say that's a differentiating feature.
Absolutely. Because you can, you know, if you are a business owner and if you don't have Google Analytics to your website, you definitely should, because it gives you all sorts of data like search engine traffic, traffic in general, search terms that are coming in. You can even drill into, are people coming to your website from mobile browsers? There's a whole lot of information that you can really dig into.
I hadn't thought about that. Is search strategy different if someone is really targeting mobile users, or is everybody becoming mobile users and that's just part of the way the whole curve's moving and you got to adapt accordingly?
Mobile is huge, and that's one advice I'm giving a lot of my clients is your website needs to be ready for mobile and for tablet. I see you have a Kindle right in front of you there.
Right.
I have one client that 40% of their traffic is coming from mobile devices or tablets.
Wow.
So if you are, you know, I do it all the time too. I'm on my couch on my tablet and I'm searching and I'm looking to buy. And if you're a business owner and your website does not pull up properly on a tablet, what does that mean to your revenue?
Right. Because now I know my kid especially, like the TV will be on, he'll be on his tablet doing something. The TV will mention something. He like Googles it. And then, you know, if he's in buying mode, that could be a video game or a book or a magazine that he's buying like right instantly.
And I do that all the time and I'm in my 30s, so it's just not the kids nowadays.
Right.
So is there a rule of thumb, a percentage, a raw number that a business should be thinking we need to be prepared to budget and allocate this much to our SEO effort?
Like 100%.
As much money as you have. You know, we have priced ourselves. We're a little bit different than some other SEO firms that we really have a package out there, or we can put together a custom program for really any sort of budget. We have clients who spend as little as $500 a month. We have clients who are spending as upwards of $50,000 a month. It really depends on where your goals are, what your budget is, and what you're hoping to achieve. So everything's a little bit custom in that sense.
Now, do you recommend that all clients have some sort of pay-per-click budget?
You know, I actually... and you hear groans probably from out in the audience. I actually don't. Pay-per-click makes sense in a lot of different verticals. There are some verticals where it's so expensive because it is a competitive real-time bidding system. It does not make sense because it's so expensive.
Now, I have a theory that might be controversial, but sure. I believe that pay-per-click, you should have the worst ad you can possibly come up with, but just because you're still getting lots more impressions, not a lot of clicks, and that impressions are valuable too.
You know, I do agree with the idea that impressions
are
valuable.
See what I mean about black magic and rubber chickens? Yeah.
I do agree with the idea that impressions are valuable, but the worst ad possible, because there's a lot of bad ads out there.
But you don't care as much if it gets clicks or not, because if, like, say you have the best fantastic ad and you're budgeted 50 clicks per month or week or day or whatever, and you get the first 50, so then you only had 50 impressions, the ad goes away. But if you had like a mediocre or a poor ad and you got 10,000 impressions but still got your 50 clicks, now you got 50, you know, 10,000 impressions every day times 7 days, that's 70,000 impressions a week as opposed to 50 or 350.
If you are averaging 50 clicks for 50 impressions, with people are going to want you. You can write your a blank check to any marketing firm across the globe. I see what you're saying. You know, one thing that's interesting is you always have to look at the immediacy of the search, or really what the intent is behind it. Mm-hmm. Someone searching for ways to lose weight, their intent and their likeliness to purchase may be different than someone looking for a car locksmith.
Right.
Because guess what? Someone's searching for a car locksmith.
Right. They're ready right now.
They're ready right now. So right. You really have to go behind the intent and right. how likely it is to convert. A lot of different businesses have really jacked up the price of pay-per-click where it doesn't make sense because it's $20, $30, $40 a click and
right.
the return's just not there. And that's, you know, that's kind of, you know, the difference about how I approach things is I will tell someone that it's not, as opposed to willingly take their money because
right.
their cousin told them about pay-per-click.
Right.
I would like to take this opportunity to let our franchisees, our sponsors, and our affiliates know that Lee Cantor will not be in charge of our SEO efforts going forward. It was just a conversation
just
to stimulate things.
It's
just a hypothetical. Just want to put your mind at ease. So what's next for Vayu? What do you got, any plans you can share with us?
Well, you know, there is an upcoming e-commerce event, but it's not till October that I will be speaking about SEO and marketing strategies on. So I'm pretty excited about that. It's a bit down the road, but, you know, just on a day-to-day basis, working with clients and helping deliver results for them.
So what's the best way for our listeners to reach out and learn more?
Our website is www.vayumedia.com. As well as you can always reach us via our main line is 404-547-0949. As well as we should be, we love Twitter. Mm-hmm. Our main Twitter handle is at Vayumedia, and you can reach me directly at ALLOISE2.
Now, we didn't get into, because we're kind of running out of time here. I know you guys are active in social media, like you just mentioned, but you're also active in some of the local events in the community and giving back to charities and things like that. And maybe we can have them come back another time to kind of flush out that side of the equation. Would you be up for something
Absolutely.
Like that?
Absolutely. Sounds
stuff.
Good.
All right. Well, what'd you learn this morning, Lee?
Lots of good stuff. Lots of good stuff. I know our Dunwoody Chamber lady here would really like you to go and vote on the 31st.
We would love for you to go vote. And vote yes.
That is a high priority because that's touch and go, right?
Absolutely. It's borderline right now.
Right. So every vote counts.
I'm getting some kind of signal, smoke signals from Danny. Yes, Danny.
No, I forgot to give you my phone number earlier, so if anybody has an immediate need for a sleep product.
You deliver, you'll drive over to their house?
As well as, so my phone number is area code 678-438-4226. That's 678-438-4226.
That would be the investors when you got your checkbook ready, right, Danny? That's who you really want to call.
Fantastic. Well, that was a lot of fun, guys. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor and our guests this morning, Debbie Fuse, Danny Rinaldi, Dr. Russell Rosenberg, Aloise, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.